begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Alma Cogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Jimmy, I want you to read this. It's the back of a card that I got out of a weighing machine. It says, I am possessed of keen intelligence, a ready wit, and a debonair charm that makes me acceptable in all social circles.
Yeah, and I bet the weight was wrong, too.
It was not. The machine showed I weigh 9 stone 3, stripped down to my socks, and a policeman's cape.
A policeman's cape?
Well, the policeman noticed the crowd around me in the chemist shop. Yeah, the point is, Jimmy, that with all these qualities, I feel I should lead a more social life. That's why I want you to invite me down to your farm.
Well, after your experience with the chemist, how can a farm assist?
Jim, I'll tell you how you can help. I'd like to take part in a hunt.
Oh, we'd like that. How fast can you run?
Jim, as a hunter.
Oh, not the hunting.
Yes,
oh,
yes. Yes. Mm. I know that as soon as one belongs to the hunting set, one soon gets taken up by society.
Well, you can't just join a hunt like you join a cycling club.
Well, that's what I mean. They won't let me in the cycling club either. My bike hasn't got a crossbar. Look, Jim, you can smuggle me into the hunt. I've got the red coat.
Well, you'd have to take the medals off.
No, not the Chelsea pensioners one. The other one, from when I was fourth mounted from the left in Rosemary.
Oh. Listen, let's make this clear, Bentley. One doesn't join a hunt for the purpose of social climbing.
No?
One joins it for the love of the sport,
yes,
or the exercise, or the mystic communion of man and beast, or, as in my case, the booze up afterwards.
Well, now... If you belong, there's no reason why I can't.
Now, you can't compare yourself with me where hunting's concerned. I happen to have a good seat for a horse.
Well, all I can say is it's a pity you're a human being.
Now, you're getting nasty.
Testy.
Dickie's getting nasty. Now, you yes. mustn't take it personally, Bentley.
No.
I'm thinking of your own good. Hunting can be dangerous. You might break your...
Jimmy. Jimmy, where are you going?
Miss Cogan, will you sing? I've got to go and sort out a large horse for Bentley. Tally-ho!
Bimbo, bimbo, where are you gonna go, yo? Bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, yo? Bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie-o? Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. He'll clap his hands and sing and dance and talk his baby talk. With a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Candy on your face-o, chewing on your gummy-o. When you gonna grow? Everybody loves you, little baby bimbo. Never catch him sitting still. He's just the roving kind. Although he's just a little boy, he's got a grown-up mind. He's always got a shaggy dog a-pulling at his clothes. And everybody calls to him as down the street he goes. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, yo? Bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, yo? Bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, yo? Bimbo, 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 B-I-M-B-O. Bimbo!
Sickening, Firth. Absolutely sickening.
Aye, aye. Here comes all anything you can say I can say wetter.
Disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, sir, and simply popping with irritation. Mm. Now, you answer me this, sir. There's a chap in the underground who stands at the top of the escalator with a pair of pliers to clip a wedge out of your ticket.
Yes, they call him a clip-it-ticker.
That's him. Yes. Now, why? Why is it that if you offer him your ticket, ignores it completely, stares into space, but if you've taken the trouble to put the ticket away, he makes you stop, stand there and search through every pocket for the stupid thing?
Oh, you're getting upset for nothing again.
Can you answer me this, sir? Why don't television programs ever finish on time? Like radio programs do.
Well, answer me this, though. Do you know how sound radio makes sure that programs finish on time?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you. The producer has two hand signals, which he makes to the cast every now and again, you see. And one of them means hurry up, and the other one means slow down.
Does it work?
Oh, yes, yes, we'll show you. And for the purposes of demonstration, instead of hand signals, the producer will ring a bell for the hurry up signal, like this.
Now, see, that means hurry up. And then he'll do this when he wants us to slow down.
That means slow down. Now, let's take for our demonstration a broadcast of Riders of the Rain.
Howdy, stranger.
Howdy, stranger.
Are you a stranger, stranger?
Yeah, I'm a stranger, stranger.
You're a mighty strange stranger, stranger.
Yeah.
Say, here comes my daughter, May. She's galloping hell for leather up the main street.
She sure is in one heck of a hurry.
Say, Pa, Frank Miller's in town. And do you know what he wants?
Why, what does he want?
He wants to come along at high noon and shoot it out with you on account of what you've done to him. He says he's going to fill you full of bullet holes and no sheriff's going to stop him, so you got to do something, Pa. You got to stop him, Pa, on account of he's going to shoot you, and I don't want you killed on account of the money that the customer's, Oh, my papa. Say, Pa, who's the stranger?
The name is Frank Miller. I swore I'd get you at high noon, Sheriff, and it's high noon now. The church bell is just striking.
He's reaching for his gun.
Well, if that's the way he wants it, I'm gonna reach for mine. We'll see who's the quickest on the draw.
He's dead, Pa. You've cleaned up Tombstone City.
Tonight's talking point. Once again, we meet the Glums, our family of ordinary people at grips with life. Today, their talking point is, does higher education lead to lower Regent Street? Over to the Glums.
Oh, Ron, I'm so thrilled. You're always doing something surprising. Was there ever such a person for devil-may-care and recklessness?
No, eh?
What a bundle of energy you are, Ron. Fancy going along to night school and enrolling for evening classes. Oh, now, come on, tell me about it, Ron. What are you taking?
My pencil box and a tangerine.
Oh, no, Ron. What subjects are you going to learn?
Sums.
Mathematics?
No, sums.
You see, Eth, I said to myself, Ron Glum, you've got to better yourself. If you're going to marry a real educated piece like Eth, well, Ron, I said, you've got to make yourself worthy of her, Ron.
You didn't say that, Ron.
I did, Eth. I heard me. I'm going to study subtraction and taking away and dividing and that one that's got a kiss in the middle.
Multiplication. Oh, Ron, aren't you a one? I don't know what you'll try next.
I do, Ed.
No, Ron, not now.
Go on, Ed, just a kiss. Just one.
Oh, no, Ron, I've just had me ends permed. No, Ron, not now.
Won't hurt.
Hello. I can see, Ron, we'll have to switch you back to white bread. I shan't interrupt, though. I just come in to get the pair of steps and the putty knife. Your mother's been tossing pancakes.
No, do stay, Mr. Glum. Ron and I were talking about multiplying.
And a very good thing for an engaged couple to discuss well in advance, if I may say so. It's only right to make up your mind.
Mr. Glum, before... Ron's enrolled for evening classes.
Oh.
He's studying mathematics.
Well, good for you, boy. Mathematics is a very important subject. The more we in Great Britain know about the people of other countries, the more we'll come to understand these stupid foreigners and the more pleased they'll be.
Dad, countries are geometry. Mathematics is sums.
Just as important, Ron. If only I'd had the forethought to further my knowledge of figures, why, today I might be treasurer of the loan club. And we'd all be living in luxury.
Ron made up his mind to improve himself all on his own, didn't you, Ron?
No, Eth. It was Dad who gave me the idea. I was looking at my dad the other evening and I thought, I'm not going to grow up as ignorant as him.
Oh. Oh, you did, eh? Well, there's gratitude for you, isn't it?
Now, Dad...
Here, who was it pinched and scraped to send you to Abbotsbury Road Free School? Who? Well, I'm asking you this. Who was slaving at a paper round 6 o'clock every morning just so you could have a penny for sweets?
Mother.
Well, perhaps it was. But it was my boots she wore when it was raining. Mine left me in bed with just me socks on. Might have caught me death.
Mr. Glum, don't quarrel with Ron right on the eve of his scholastic career, please.
Well, what I want, then? I only hope they educate him into not calling his old man ignorant, which he aren't nor never weren't. Now I shall tell his mum. Mother! Toss another panful of batter. We've got something to celebrate. Hello. What's happened to her? I'd better go and see.
Oh!
Is she all right, Mr. Glum?
Here, eh? Come and have a look. Modem is wearing the new pancake makeup.
Wherever I go, I guess you know, I tip my hat to none. With a hoop and a holler and a dime and a dollar, I'm a lucky son of a gun. I'm just a rolling stone, I wander on my own, and always take my own advice. Do-do-do-do-do-do, I travel every trail and never been in jail, but I deserve it once or twice. I tip my hat to none. With the hoop and the holler and the dime and the dollar, I'm a lucky son of a gun.
when I leave the town and get to bed and down, I kind of wink up at the stars. Nobody knows my name, they only know I came and drank my way in all the bars.
With a hoop and a holler and a dime and a dollar, I'm a lucky son of a gun. Wherever I go, I guess you know, I tip my hat to none. With a hoop and a holler and a dime and a dollar, I'm a lucky son of a gun.
Waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
Oh, and waiter, three for me as well, please, while you're at it. Thank you.
I say, Bentley, I'm thinking of taking my holidays in Cornwall. You know anything about Cornwall?
Oh, a charming part of the country, Your Grace. Very picturesque.
Yes. And it's you know where it is? It's where the old smugglers and wreckers used to operate, Your Grace.
Well, is that so? You really are a most extraordinarily well-informed person, Edward.
Well, it's kind of easy to Your Grace. It's nothing at all, really. If a chap keeps his eyes open, he picks up all sorts of scraps of knowledge, you know. Also notices when somebody else is trying to swipe his brandy.
No. Oh, is it yours? I'm sorry, Edwards.
Oh, it's quite all right. Blooming upper classes, I don't know. Just you sit back, sir, and listen.
The time is 1810. The scene, a lonely part of the Cornish coast. A smuggler's moon shines down fitfully on an abandoned old cove.
Yes, there I was. All by myself in the moonlight. I, Jeremy Trelawney, customs and excise officer. Suddenly I shivered. I was sitting in a lobster pot and it was getting a little nippy. Then, somewhere on the beach below, a pebble clinked. I brought my spyglass to my eye, the better to hear what befell.
Softly now, me lads. Any moment now, round the headland will come that fine cargo ship, the Saucy Simone Silver.
What be her cargo, Jem?
Her cargo. Spirits of salts, oven cleanser, boot laces, corn plasters, all manner of costly luxuries.
How do we lure her onto the rocks, Jem?
I have a devilish plan, me bullies. I gather round while I tell you now. Tis right devilish. Watkins, do you now take this lantern and balance it on the top of your head?
Righto.
Now stand there and keep turning slowly round and round.
Righto.
And round. There, me bullies, you see now, the schooner will see Watkins and will reckon he's easy at his own lighthouse. And onto the rocks she'll go. See, she's turning towards us now. Keep revolving, Watkins.
Oh, you'll be getting dizzy, Jim.
You're not dizzy, you're just light-headed. Now, stand by for the crash, me lads.
Stand where you are, all of you.
What's that?
I'm an officer of the Customs and Excise, and I demand to know what you're doing on the beach at this hour.
Oh, curses. 'Tis the excise men by gar. Me bullies, try and bluff it out now. Now, sir, I am but a simple fisherman, sir. I'm looking for bait, sir.
I am another simple fisherman.
I'm a fisherman, too. I'm a lighthouse.
Oh, well, I beg your pardon. I thought for the moment you... Wait a minute. You're not fishermen. You're wreckers. Don't move.
Run for it, my bullies. Right. Through the secret cave and into the cellars of the Wayfarers Inn.
Come on. Come back. Don't leave me here. Please help me out of the lobster pot. Oh, help.
I was the barmaid at the Wayfarers Inn, and my thoughts were bitter. I had an idea that the cellar of the inn was used as a smuggler's den by the landlord, Jem Trego. But how could I find out? On an impulse, I bent over and put my eye to the crack in the floor. And then I learned a great truth. A barmaid should never bend over in a public bar.
That old van, leave me last, sir. Now then, get on with thy business of serving my customers and bring I a stoop of ale.
Oh, I'm not stooping again with you around, Jem Trego. I'll have none of thee.
What's that?
'Tis Jeremy Trelawney to whom I'm promised.
Shah, Jeremy Trelawney, that milksop.
He bent a milksop?
He's a milksop.
He bent?
He biz.
He better milksop.
Excuse me?
He better milksop. He... Oh, hello, Jeremy, my dear. Now, what'll you be having?
A large glass of milk, please. Rosie, come and sit in the ingle nook a moment. Yes, are you sure that nobody here suspects that I'm really a customs man?
Oh, no, Jeremy. I told him you'd come down here to learn to do the floral dance. And I'm sure the center of the smuggling is right here at the Wayfarers Inn. There's something up in the cellar.
You mean there's something down in the cellar?
Jeremy, smuggled goods are kept in the cellar of this pub.
What leads you to suspect that?
Every time I pull the beer pump handle, French underwear comes out the spout.
Oh, French underwear. That's the little slip I've been waiting for. Rosie, run as fast as you can to the Coast Guard station and tell them to send all the...
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. Rosie, go back to the saloon bar.
Oh, but Jem...
Ah, do as I tell ye. Now, Mr. Trelawney, I want a word with ye.
Who's E?
He's you, Mr. Jeremy Trelawney, customs officer.
What? How did you penetrate my disguise?
That badge on your act. The one that says Jeremy Trelawney, customs officer. Not authorized to search females.
Oh, dash.
Watkins, where's Watkins?
He'd be still on beach, turning round and round.
And the best of luck to him. Now then. You then, you lofty, you take this customs spy down to my cellar.
Ah, Jim.
Down there you'll see a hook in the ceiling. What we use for hanging a pam. Nothing could be more appropriate. Take him away!
I seed him take Jeremy away. Half an hour later, I crept down to the cellar, and there he was, dangling from a rope. For the first time in his life, he were really on the beam.
Rosie, oh, cut me down. Get a knife.
I'm coming, my dear. I wasted no time. Seizing the rope, I sawed away where it looked thinnest.
No, that's my neck. Oh, that's better. I'm free.
Jem and the wreckers have gone down the secret tunnel to the beach to have another go at wrecking the schooner.
Then one of us must belt down the tunnel after them. You. Yeah. I'll summon my 30 armed coast guards and follow. Stay on the foreshore and whistle when you see me.
Well, what'll I whistle?
The foreshore concerto.
Right.
Hurry, no time to lose.
Stand by now, me bullies. The schooner is heading towards the beach now. Keep turning, Watkins.
Jim, will you have a look at my head? I think I'm a bit dim.
By gar, he be going out. Blow on him, Pengarth. No, wait. Someone's approaching.
Rosie, where are you? Don't muck about. It's dark.
Tis that blasted excise man. Now down and keep quiet all on you.
Rosie. Oh, please don't hide any longer. I just trod on a jellyfish.
Oh, there you are, Jeremy. The wreckers around here somewhere.
Here I be, milksop.
The game's up, Chico. All I have to do is blow my whistle.
Well, go on and blow it.
All right, Oh, dear. Rosie, did I leave a whistle on the sideboard?
So it's man to man, then. Have at you, Trelawney.
Jeremy leapt forward, and there was a flash of cold steel as he took off his spectacles. He grappled with Jem. Fighting savagely, they both disappeared behind a big rock, and there were two cries. And then... silence. Jeremy, have you been killed?
No, I'm still alive.
Did you kill Jem Tregole?
No, I be alive too.
Then what are you both doing behind that rock?
Just sitting here.
Thinking.
Thinking? Well, what are you thinking?
How to get out of these blasted lobster pots.
In the augmented BBC Review Orchestra bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week and
take it by.